Hey, it's Craig Finn. You're listening to the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
In the middle of a mission, I met Esther in the kitchen, drinking something blue, it looked like Windex. She could shake but couldn't really sing, shopping like a feral thing. Helped me with my part when I lost interest. She said her name was Esther. I said, baby, that sounds biblical. Ain't she the one that came up after Vashti? Yeah, and then some other stuff. At some point that I fell in love. Then she heard a song she liked and lost me. The party.
We got bored. So we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews of the band that you love, we love, and they're not Yacht Rock, but they just played the Yacht Club, and we know they love to walk out to the Lidl Shuffle. Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right, Mike on the mic, and I can talk hold steady all night, and when I like to talk hold steady heavy, I throw up the rat signal, and just like that, the Hood Rat Pack has assembled. And hark, what is it I hear? That majestic sound can only be the unified scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, man. But you know what? I've been trying to get people to call me the skipper.
Why is that, Gasper?
Because I'm the navigator steering this ship to success. Just sit
right back, then you'll hear. Oh, how's that working out for you?
Not very good at all. People keep calling me Gilligan.
Gilligan, will you stop?
Little buddy. Why I little buddy? No, I don't know what he says.
I mean, it's just awful. And this is the reason why this show can't get success. We want to be great, and we end up on this desert island with Gasper just stuck wearing coconuts on our man boobs because this is all we have because these terrible, terrible references.
Now, there's a visual, but I'm on topic.
Oh, my God.
So that's the sound of our third mic and our producer, Kevin is whenever. Kevin, how you doing today?
I mean, I'm doing just lovely. I'm a little tired. I've been traveling on the road, which is why we're a little late getting this podcast done. But it's nice to be sitting in my home chair in the studio with the guys, getting ready to talk some Hold Steady. I mean, we have a few shows I think we've got to catch up on. And I think today's topic is going to be a lot of fun. I know Gasper is dreading it, but Mike and I have been really excited about it. So it's going to be a fun day.
Yeah, man. So before we do get into that topic, so we did Constructive Summer last episode, and we had intended to also do the Australia Melbourne shows, but ran into a technical difficulty. But we want to circle back and do them now because our friend Andrew from Australia did some field work for us and got us some great feedback from the fans.
I think our listeners want to know what the technical difficulties were.
We lost them.
Thank you.
As we say technical difficulties, it means human error, and we just couldn't find the clips. So now you're stuck listening to them after the fact.
Thanks, Kev.
You're welcome. It's what we do.
But I mean, just to touch on the Melbourne shows, it looked like that those are some great shows. That's one show that, like, I don't know if I'll ever get down there. That's kind of a really long trip.
It's but a bit of a commitment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the commitment. That was a great movie, but that's Ireland, not Australia.
Right.
Wrong country, guys.
But one of the highlights for me, I mean, and it's something that they don't do very often, is did you see we got the transition Crucifixion Cruise into How a Resurrection Really Feels?
That's always classic.
I saw it when we were looking at it, and it was great. And I noticed that it seems like that's sort of becoming a thing. The same way there's these transitions that become part of the set. I feel like that one is now becoming its own little life, and I'm down with it. I love when they do it. I think they've done it once in the States so far or twice this year, and I'm hoping they do it at Massive Nights.
I mean, that's something I've seen them do like a long time ago, and then only recently, you're right, it's kind of making its comeback. So yeah, I guess we'll see.
Let's listen to these clips, because I think when it's fun, you know, this is a totally different continent, but it's like you kind of go, oh, I know that person. Yeah, I always run into that person at the show because everything kind of
Sounds reminds you of people you know at these shows.
Well, we got to send a shout out to our pal Andrew, who's been on the show and thankfully was at those shows and was able to get some fan reactions for us, which we can get into now. I think our first clip is from a fan named Ollie, who had some words. Let's check it out.
I'm Ollie from Melbourne.
And what did you think your first ever Hold Steady show?
Bloody unreal. Just unreal. Very good energy.
And highlights?
Highlights, I'd have to say just the energy, really.
Tom, set list, great set list.
Very good set list. They just didn't go wrong. Chips Ahoy, just too good.
So you can't come back down though, can you? That's it for you.
No, that's it. Nothing can top it. Nothing can top it. I just can't come back.
I feel like I know an Ollie somewhere in the States, yeah.
I feel like we've all been in that spot where it's like, it's clear he's a new fan, and it's probably one of his first shows, as he said, but like, it's always the energy that catches you with the band on stage. Like, you notice the way they interact, the way they play is really over the top, even if you can't remember songs, and then you remember Chips Ahoy, because that's an easy title to remember.
Kind of makes you a little jealous of Ollie, right? I mean, right. Like, that's the one thing you can't have is to see these guys for the first time again.
For the first time again. I will say he sounds like Gasper after a Hold Steady show. I feel like he had had quite a few Fosters or whatever.
Well, I have definitely been Ollie before, like, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Ollie, for that. I think now we have one from Matt. Let's check that out and see what Matt had to say.
G'day, I'm Matt from Murrumbeena.
What do you think, Matthew? Your first ever Hold Steady show?
Yeah, well, it was so good. It was so good. I'm not, you know, I'm new to it. I'm not a fan of the genre, but so good. I love the poetry of it. And just seeing the energy that they bring is unbelievable. I felt like I was at a party for 2.5 hours.
It's, wow, 2.5 hours. They play a long time, don't they? Not quite as long as Taylor Swift.
Well, no, and I've never been that close to Taylor Swift. I could feel his spittoon all over me.
He has to change his little padded microphone every so often.
Yes.
Highlight. What's your What did you think stood out?
I really like it when there's a story, I think, and when you can really get involved in that story, and you can feel the energy that he has. Like, he owns it. It's not something he wrote, you know, that isn't personal. It's intensely personal to him and to all of the band, and they all feel it. And they're all got different personalities, which I think is the secret.
Yeah. Cool. Well, that'll be enough.
I mean, there we go again. Another first-timer, another energy. And, hey, I think Andrew might have set us up for a future Taylor Swift episode. I don't want to say anything, but it could be that we are going to do show lengths, Taylor Swift versus Hulk. It could happen.
Can we get through the Yacht Rock episode first, please?
But it's interesting. I mean, this isn't the Hold Steady's first trip, but it seems like they're actually getting a bunch of new fans this time around, whether they're all friends of Andrew's and he's dragging them along or just whatever. That's two back-to-back first-timers at a Hold Steady show. All right, and we got another clip from Andrew for us. This one is Rob, Charles, and Lucy. And if memory serves, this is not their first Hold Steady show. So let's check out what they had to say about it.
Got Bose, Sydney, via London, New York, and everywhere else. Seventh time I've seen the whole city. Perfect.
Charles Anthony Bowes, half Jamaican, English, and American as well. This is my fourth time seeing the whole city. They never disappoint. Love them. I can't wait to see them again.
Okay, yeah.
Brilliant band. Every time they seem to be so astounded and grateful for people turning up. But they're absolutely brilliant. We love them.
Who from
Melbourne.
You?
Melbourne. Lucy from Melbourne.
Lucy McKay from Melbourne.
And what about a highlight of the show? What was the best thing they did?
The band made me cry, so.
Ah, look, Citrus comes on. It reminds me of the Charlie Sisters in the States. Citrus comes on. We always like to have it.
Did you come last night?
No, we didn't. We flew in this morning. So I fly out tomorrow.
So you know they played Oaks last night.
Did they play Oaks? They loved Oaks.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
First time I've seen it.
Really?
Yeah. Never seen him do it live.
I've never seen Knuckles before. That's the first time I've seen
Okay.
Knuckles. I love that song.
And Resurrection's my favourite anyway, so I love it.
My favourite song's The Weeknders. They play it last night, so they've got to play it tonight, and they do.
You got it all.
Beautiful. They're so great. They're like so grateful. They're like, look at all these people.
You're running out of space now, Blue.
Really, we'll be fine. Anyway, happy birthday then.
Thank you very much, mate.
I'm not sure whose birthday it was there, but whoever it was, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yeah.
I felt like we were in the party pit in Australia with all those voices coming in and out of us there.
I mean, there's so many times where we've all been in that situation where you don't get to go to the whole, I mean, Casper, you go, but there's times I can't. And then I find out the night before they played the song I really want to hear. And like that happened to them where Oaks was the wrong day or, you know, but at least they got Resurrection. So that's the one thing about a Hold Steady show is you always feel like you're playing this game of, well, I hope I get this tonight. And then even with all their songs, you can go to all four nights and you still don't get, because you don't get a Citrus or you don't get, you know.
Well, they can't play them all.
Yeah, they can't, that's true. You know. So
now, talking about Oaks, do you think, because Oaks was one of those songs that was like, you never got it. And now we seem to be getting it quite a bit since pretty much since Open Door Policy came out and they started doing the record store shows through all the shows they're playing now. And if we do get that Teeth Dreams show, which we believe we're getting, you're going to get it there. Do you think they pack it away then and we don't see it again?
I don't know. It seems like Oaks, Modesto, they've dusted off a bunch of songs that keep getting back kind of in the regular playlist now.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
There's one thing I'll say, because we know how, because we've talked about how Craig puts the set list together and he really pays attention to what goes where. And it's not just like, oh, we're just going to spit these songs out. I think if Oaks connects the way it will, I think we might see it more. I don't think it goes away. I think if everyone is as excited to hear that song as we all are and it comes over live and really hits, I think we'll see it more, because I find they build based on the crowd. So,
right,
you know, we've seen some songs, you know, from Open Door Policy where we all thought they would be fixtures in the set list and they kind of tested it once and then we haven't really seen it again. So I think, I don't know. I think that's a hard question, but I also think if this Teeth Dream show does happen, like you say, I think that record gets a second breath in the show. At least I hope it does, because there's some great songs on that album.
Right. And that'll actually unearth a few gems that we've been waiting for. And maybe you do see that. The same thing like you saw with Oaks, that you start seeing some of these songs come back, which would be awesome.
Right. But
I still don't think Runner's High is going to be put in the regular rotation, though. But we'll see.
I like Runner's High.
I like it, too.
I think Runner's High is a great song.
I was going to say, as a runner, you know what? They're just biased against runners. That's what we know. That's going to be the next album. The whole study, we hate runners. We got one more clip.
That's right. And this is, a testament to Andrew for really doing a great job down there.
I mean, this one was a very big surprise when we listened to it. And
it's a good get.
That's why sorry we didn't give it to you last month based on it's a great get. And we would have given it to you last month, but one of the three hosts lost it and he wasn't named Kevin or Mike.
So. Sorry.
Who you are, where you're from, and why you love playing Melbourne.
Oh, I'm Tad Kubler from the Hold Steady. We're from Brooklyn, New York. And I love playing Melbourne because it's Melbourne. Because it's a beautiful, it's magical. It really is.
The crowds are good though, aren't they? Like
they're fantastic. I mean,
we can see your faces at times up there, and it's just like you give a look back at us as if to say, did you just do that?
Oh, I believe me. Every time I walk on stage, I'm like, who the fuck are all these people? Yeah. You know, like, where did you guys come from? So
it's all right, Tad Kubler himself.
Well, thank you, Tad. This is Tad's second appearance on our show. We're like, we're gonna have to call this the Tad Kubler recap.
Ironically enough, I think we've had Tad on through clips more than we've had anyone else. Well, hey. And Steve did the show.
Josh is close, right? Because we've had a couple of clips from Josh, and he was a guest.
Good point. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. You know, I know he doesn't get up there and play, but he is a guest vocalist. I give props to Josh. But that was really awesome. Thank you, Andrew, for putting those together.
Good job, man. Cool.
And I agree with you. It makes me want to go to Australia to see a Hold Steady show.
Oh, I was just going to say, and Andrew, he got COVID from the show, and I guess a lot of people down there got COVID. So he was really out there on the front lines battling for us, guys.
Yeah. I can relate, because I think it was 2022 when my wife and I went to the Hold Steady show, and we got COVID.
Yeah.
And that's where I like to say the Hold Steady almost killed me.
And I was standing there right with you.
I know.
But Andrew, hope you're feeling better. And thanks again for doing those. And now I think it's time to talk about Mike's show. And then Mike went out to a show and covered it for us. That was the show in Minnesota. That was at the Yacht Club, right, Mike?
Yes, it was down on the Mississippi River, which we get.
You have to say it right if you're gonna do it. You have to say it like down at the Mississippi River.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, this show was down at the Mississippi River. As we heard all the Mississippi songs, we've seen Craig pointing at the actual river. So
that
this show was
a great Craig impersonation, by the way. I just want to. I know you guys make fun of my impersonation of Craig, but that one was better than mine.
So I don't know where to start on this show. I went. It was a Friday, Saturday show. Thursday, I went out there for 12 hours in the hot sun for load in and just kind of walked around the empty grounds and took a bunch of great photos of what it looked like that you can see on our Facebook page. We had a couple funny moments, like an Uber Eats driver drove up and he goes, "I think I got a fake name." He goes, "It says Alanis Morissette's production staff." And we go, "No, they're sitting right down there." And he's like, "What is this?" He didn't even know he was at a music festival because it was load in. But and then he was taking pictures. He got all excited. Then he's like, "That's the real thing." So guys, yeah. Speaking of Alanis Morissette and Gwen Stefani, if you look at their show, it looks like CGI because there's 40,000 people there. And it looks like they CGI'd the photo because you can't believe how many people were there. It looks like Freddie Mercury at Live Aid. That's how crazy it looked. Wow. So they had two stages, and I'm going to play a sound clip later, and you can really check, like for instance, as soon as the whole study got done playing Killer Parties, it went into right. You got to keep them separated. The Offspring, like it sounded like a mixed track. As soon as one stage got done, I don't know if they were pointing or what they were doing, but the other stage would start a second later after the one stage was done. So the music never stopped.
Well, the nice thing about those festivals, when one band is on, the other stage is able to set up the next band, and they're pretty much timed to the minute. Everybody knows before they step on that stage how long they have because they know curfews, they know sound ordinances, they know if there's overages. So like that's why it feels that way. Like the minute the Hold Steady ends and that show ends, the next stage starts. And usually what happens is if you want to see all those bands, you're running back and forth between the stages to like, oh, now I got to go see the Offspring stage. And then I'm going to come back for Gwen. And like, it's a fun experience, but I've gotten to this point where it's just like, I get very selective and I'm like, I'm just going to camp at this stage and I hope I'm at the better stage. But you know, it's those festivals can be a lot of fun. And especially when they're on the water, they're a little cooler. I'm sure it was hot. I mean, we've had some pretty hot days in the summer. I was just at Great American Ballpark with a client and it was 90 something degrees and they were on at 5:30 in the afternoon and it was so hot. So I just feel bad for when you sit out there all day, because I just came out for their set and it was hot as can be.
Yeah. So I got out there for Soul Asylum and it was really hot. And then they were on the main stage. And then I went and camped over for Trombone Shorty. I went and went over to the second stage. So the main stage was Skippers. So I thought that was kind of funny because Hold Steady has Skippers is where we mostly hang. And then the Hold Steady stage was called the Crow's Nest. You know, we're kind of going with a yacht theme. So I went over there for Trombone Shorty, who everybody should see him. He's great at a music festival. He did Let's Go Crazy on the trombone, the Prince's song, and then they did Green Day on the trombone. It was amazing. So yeah. I got in the first row there. It was kind of weird. They had the stage split from left to right, so I couldn't be in my normal right in front of Craig. I was kind of in between Craig and Steve because they had the main cables going down the middle, so the left crowd and right crowd were split like an amoeba. We couldn't get over to each other. But the Hold Steady went on at 6 p.m. So that hot, you know, it was a beautiful evening because the heat had just left and it was just great. And it was an amazing set. And it's kind of funny. I went on social media afterwards and there was a bunch of boats. I took pictures of them in the Mississippi and some of them recorded Craig, you know, doing that joke where he goes, "I'm glad St. Paul rhymes more than Minneapolis." And somebody recorded it from a mile away and you could hear it like just perfect, like even though he was just talking. So you could hear really good down on the water. So they all got a great free show.
I have a question. Was there confetti at a festival?
The Summerfest at Milwaukee had more confetti. This one had a little bit of confetti. There was a lot of first timers here. That's kind of a theme for today's show. Because it was a music festival, there was a bunch of first timers. And when they saw the confetti go off, they were kind of confused or bemused by it. But so that was kind of fun. Yeah. But it It wasn't super strong. No, it was a mixed crowd. I think it was a lot of new fans there.
So being that you have such a mixed crowd, and it did seem like from the lineup, it's all types of music. So I could see how not everybody would be necessarily a Hold Steady fan, or even possibly not receive them the way we do. How was the reception to the show?
It was typical, very Hold Steady. Like any crowd you go to, they were receiving it really great. The guy I was standing next to was a first time listener, and we're gonna hear his clip. But I was looking at his face, and he was like a kid at Christmas. He just couldn't believe all the antics that Craig was doing and stuff. So I think the crowd, you know, with Craig was putting on his full antics, the whole band was, Steve was right, jumping. The crowd was really reacting to the stage presence of the band, I think.
Awesome. I mean, for me, I would love to see, and I don't think they'll ever do it here, but I would love to see that type of festival here with them, because the Hold Steady up against Alanis Morissette, The Offspring, Trombone Shorty, you know, Soul Aside, they're so diverse. And like in that lane, there's, you know, Alanis and Gwen, they could have some crossover. They both had a lot of pop hits in the late 90s, mid 90s to 2000. So like some of those fans are the same, but like when you look at the rest of that lineup, Hold Steady is kind of an outlier, like especially in terms of what they do versus like Offspring and Soul Asylum. They also had a lot of 90s hits, so like they could kind of have some of the same fans. Trombone Shorty's a newer artist, but again, he's won a bunch of Grammys, he's super diverse, he's a guy that floats between the rock and the jazz, and like he's always at a lot of those festivals, and I've been at shows where he's at, and you'll see, you know, rock guys watching him from the side of the stage right next to the biggest jazz head. So it's cool that they were in that situation and then played at 6 o'clock too, because that's prime time slot, like especially in festival time. Like when you get into those later hours, that's where the headliners kind of come. And, you know, usually everybody's playing the same 45 minutes. So looking at what they did, they played 15 songs, which for the Hold Steady is probably 70 minutes. I don't know how long.
Right.
That's
just short of a normal main set, right? We normally get about 20 songs.
25, we've kind of learned.
They played exactly 60 minutes because, well, I think they even got screwed out of 2 minutes because Hippocampus was the only group that went over by 2 minutes, but I blame the lead singer's mom because she's a lot to deal with. I had a run-in with her years ago. But anyways.
Wow, that's a story.
Yeah, it's a story we'll have to tell on a different day. Yeah. That woman can spread rumors.
Sorry, okay. Mama Campus.
It was a very symmetrical 1 hour. And you know, I just seen them play Summerfest in Milwaukee a couple weeks before, where they played another hour. And I was so close at this show that I could see their clock that they have to watch, you know, on stage to see where they're at. Mm. And at one time I looked down and they had been playing 22 minutes. And I was like, it seemed like an hour at that point because I was so invested in each song. So they put up a very good hour. They ended with Killer Parties as normal, which takes a little more time, as we know. So it was, they're getting very good at these hour sets. I mean, it feels like a Brooklyn Bowl show, which just, you know, you feel like you're going to get gypped in an hour, but not so. It's a full packed hour. So yeah, I was really impressed.
That probably has a lot to do with the fact that I would imagine a set at a festival is going to be like the hits.
Yeah,
you're not really going to get too many deep songs.
Which is where I was going to ask, because it's a good lead in. Thanks for that, G. They played Carlos is Crying in that show.
Interesting.
And
yep,
I was curious for the first time as in sort of a non Hold Steady audience, how did you happen to maybe take notice of how it went over around that stuff? Because it's right after Entitlement Crew. It's before We Can Get Together. So it's in an interesting position later in the set. And I was curious, are we starting to see Carlos is Crying coming out as one of those songs now?
Yeah, so I think it went over very well. I know we like to argue about this on this show, but I think it went over very well just because of the different, it's just so different than the other songs. So it's really, I think they put it in there to break up the set a little bit. And it's going over very well. You know, the Carlos is Crying line really gets to the crowd, even, you know, if they're hearing it for the first time or the millionth time. I think they love it. Before the show, I had predicted that they were going to play all their loudest, because this crowd, like I said, it's almost like a Live Aid. This crowd is just huge. So I said they're going to play all their loudest songs. So I was kind of surprised they played Carlos is Crying. And then Party Pit went number three this time. It's getting earlier and earlier. They might lead the show with it someday.
You might get that. You might get your lead off.
Creeping up. I mean, this show was Constructive Summer, Hot Soft Light, was that, you know, we've seen those two back to back a few times. And you know, it seems like a hit. Of course, A Question of Memphis is basically in every show at this point, which if you're playing to a bunch of first timers, that's probably most people's best chance to be like, oh, I think I heard of this band. And if you're playing in front of 40,000 first timers, that song will probably, especially their performance, will leave a memory.
Now, you said you got up real close, and I wasn't sure if it was the way the pictures were taken or if it was the setup, but it seemed like the crowd was pretty far off the stage. I know they had a barrier, but was it like a barrier that's a little further than normal, or?
Yeah, a lot of people, our listeners commented on our Facebook page. Yeah, I was maybe 30 feet back, and I was like maybe the closest or second closest person to them. Yeah. But it didn't affect. I didn't really barely noticed. It was great.
So you're saying Craig can definitely reach past 30 feet is what you're saying.
Yeah, for the people that were recording it down on the Mississippi River, there was people down there listening to it down there, and they got really good recordings. I was listening to The Offspring up on the bridge right above the Mississippi, and it was like I was listening to a recording. It was just crystal clear, like even though you're like a mile away at that point. So it was really cool show. I'm still buzzing over it. It was great. I was with David Grohl. I kind of lost him during The Offspring, and I had left because I had worked a different music festival the night before on the Mississippi. In fact, as we were recording this, I went to Music on the Mississippi last night till 3 a.m. So I've been to 3 Mississippi music festivals in the last month. And nice. So I've had my share of the Mississippi River. So I went down. Oh, and I wanted to get a shout out. This was the busiest weekend of my life. We're going to talk about this later, but I went out with the Hold Sweaty and we ran a 5K down Summit. We went through the intersection of Summit and Finn Avenue, and then we went down and drowned in the Mississippi, and then we turned around and came back. So Bill Childs is one of the organizers, and we're going to have him on a future episode, and we're going to find out what the Hold Sweaty is. I know you guys can't wait because you guys love running. I know you both do.
Awesome.
I am going to start running with the Hold Sweaty, but I will use sneakers.
I was about to ask. So, like, did you do this one with no shoes again?
I was sans shoes. That is correct.
How many other runners in the Hold Sweaty had no shoes?
I came in first place for non-shoed runners, and I also last place. Uh-huh. I came in last place for non-shoed runners, too. So.
Now, do you think there's a correlation between coming in last place and not having shoes?
I didn't say I came in last place. I came in last place with no shoe runners. Yeah. But I also came in first place. I just did a run with 400 runners in the woods by the zoo, and I was also the only runner without shoes. And
so you're running. They took in the pictures woods of my bare feet for some reason. I don't get
this.
This
is his lead up for Naked and Afraid. So when he's on Naked and Afraid, running from a water buffalo, he's going to be sans shoes, and he's ready. This is Naked and Afraid training. Yep. That's what we have.
Yep.
Great.
Yeah, I'll be completely naked except for my GPS watch. That's all I'm doing.
But we have a clip from the Yacht Club, right? Didn't you talk to a fan?
Yeah, the guy that was next to me, he had his face. I was watching his facial expressions. He's the first time he goes, "Hey, have you ever heard of this band before?" That's how we started out our conversation. And you will hear The Offspring in the background because I interviewed him 10 seconds after Killer Party started. And it was just wild how that you can hear that song in the background. So.
Did you tell him about the podcast?
Yes, I told him. Right, so hopefully he's listening.
All right, hopefully. Here we go. This is Justin.
What's your name and where are you from?
My name's Justin. I'm from southern Wisconsin.
All right. And this, you're in the front row for your first ever Hold Steady concert. What did you think?
They were awesome. Instrumentally, they were great. The front row, it's a little hard to hear what he was saying. But definitely somebody I'm going to go and like actually look for there.
All right.
I did enjoy the show.
All right. So we're getting drowned out by The Offspring here, so I'll let you go. But thank you. Have a good night.
Very interesting point that he brings there is that as a first timer, there are a lot of lyrics to digest in a Hold Steady song. It's a lot of words, a lot of story. And I wonder, interesting hearing him say like, oh, I couldn't get into it, but I can't wait to go home and dig into it. I wonder if that's sort of a common sentiment for people, because I don't remember having that, but I also remember like I was listening to albums first. So I wonder if in that live festival setting,
right,
the stories kind of get, you know, and you just kind of hang on the choruses, like where you can kind of.
I would think that would be the case. I mean, you're going to get struck by the musicianship first and Craig's stage presence, but you probably have no idea. I mean, the easiest way to tell that is like, how many times have we heard a new song introduced and you're like, that was a great song. I can't wait to figure out what it's about.
we've all been there. So it's not like Justin is an outlier, because we've all had those experiences. Like, what did you just say there?
Yeah. So Justin, leave us a voicemail. I want to know if you've been home listening to the lyrics and what do you think of the Hold Steady now that you got a little more experience with them? So that would be great to give us an update.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So yeah, man, the Yacht Club show sounded like it was a great time. And that actually spurred a whole conversation amongst us about yacht rock. And we held a poll on Facebook to determine whether we should talk about Yacht Rock on the episode. And
and how did that poll go? Because I'm very
it did not go well for me. I was opposed to talking about the Yacht Rock. Mike and Kev were into it, and I lost handedly.
I will say, though, in your defense, there was a few people that did comment on the poll that were like, we don't want to hear anything about Yacht Rock. They don't like it. They hate it, whatever. But there was an overwhelming amount of Yacht Rock fans, which just goes to show.
Yes, there was.
How that genre. And it's really kind of funny, too, because it's not really a genre until like later in life, because really in the 70s, that was just, you know, soft rock, rock, whatever they called it in the 70s. But they didn't call it Yacht Rock. That moniker came many years after, when we went back and looked at that music again, and you know, they felt it was for the rich on their boats, which I don't know. I don't have a boat and I listen to it all the time.
All right. Well, I mean, that inspired us to go back to our new in-house AI, and we got a little song about our predicament with the Yacht Rock.
Mike and Kevin on the boat, smooth sailing all day long. Gaspar stuck on shore, he'll glow. He says this genre's wrong. They play some Hall and Oates while Gaspar rolls his eyes. Kevin's got his captain's coat, Mike's harmonizing high. Gaspar hates the Yacht Rock. Mike and Kev just can't stop.
I mean, come on, even the AI knows how great the Yacht Rock is.
I mean, look, in fairness, do I hate Yacht Rock? I think is a bit strong. But to me, I will say this, in the research I've done about Yacht Rock to be prepared for this, I was a little surprised at what constitutes Yacht Rock. So if we could talk a little bit about that, because it's not a genre in itself. It's kind of a group of songs, right? I mean, Yacht Rock is basically what? Smooth rock, adult contemporary.
Oh, wait a second. Did you guys get that definition I sent you? Let me pull it up here. Okay, so here to set the record straight, guys, or smooth, Yacht Rock is music primarily created between 1976 and 84 that can be characterized as smooth and melodic, and typically combines elements of jazz, rhythm, and blues, and rock. You'll hear very little acoustic music, guitar. Get the Horse with No Name out of there. So a lot of people confuse that kind of music. But a lot of Fender Rhodes electric piano lyrics. Lyrics don't get in the way of the song's usually high musicality. Some of the finest Los Angeles session players, including members of the band Toto, play on many Yacht Rock tunes. The lyrics may, however, speak about fools. The song are light and bubbly as champagne on the high seas, yet oddly complex and intellectual. Was that good or not?
Yeah, I mean, so that kind of goes to my point, is that there was a few songs on the list of what's considered Yacht Rock to me that was like, really? That's Yacht Rock? But for the most part, I think it's where I thought it was as far as what's on that list. And it comes off to me as like cheesy as hell.
I mean, look, it was in the 70s, it was party rock, and like really it was. There was bands like Pablo Cruz, and you know, even some people, Hall and Oates was mentioned previously. Like, those songs were what people played at parties, and that was what they listened to. That's why when the definition you just read brings up like America and A Horse with No Name, like nowadays looking back, they lump it in because they don't really have a spot for that. But I don't think at the time that genre would have been one and the same. But to that end, there's just so much great music in that space that didn't have a home. And a lot of those guys, like when you talk about Toto and Steve Lukather, like people consider him one of the best guitar players ever. I mean, he played on Beat It with Michael Jackson. And so it wasn't ever about the musicianship. It was just, those were the songs they wrote at the time, and where the format didn't really have a home because it was in a weird disco transition that it created this whole other genre. And now, all these years later, when we look back at it, we created this term, which again isn't a genre. It's just, it's like a way radio groups it together. There's like three or four yacht rock channels on Sirius that they all play the same 50 songs. And once you get through the 50 songs, it's, those were the hits. Right. I am serious. Right.
I mean, and when you take into account groups like the Doobie Brothers, right, where to me, that's not where yacht rock hits for me, but I understand it's later Doobie Brothers. It's not early Doobie Brothers.
What a Fool Believes is kind of considered the number one, that and Sailing by Christopher Cross, just to kind of give people, those are kind of considered the big hitters. Yeah. I think Africa by Toto is considered a big yacht rock song.
I mean, that's in there. I mean, you can put it on and there is no shortage of any of those bands, but Christopher Cross to me and Sailing is sort of like, only because it, and like Ride Like the Wind was another, like those songs from Christopher Cross, like he to me is the pinnacle. And you know, I know people were really mad. He won Grammys in, I don't know if it was 82, 83, whatever year it was, and people lost their minds because they're like, he was up against whatever big records and Christopher Cross won. And like, it really kind of almost ruined his career. Like, here he was with all these hits, like in this genre that wasn't the most popular, and people were like, screw Christopher Cross, and then that was it. Like, poor guy.
Yeah, I mean, in my head, I think what my turnoff to it is I just picture the dude in his captain's hat with his sweater draped over his shoulders, listening to Steely Dan, and I'm like, yeah, that's not for me. But then you get like the Eagles are lumped in here. And again, like that's a band that it's like not all Eagle songs are yacht rock songs.
I don't think they're yacht rock because, like I was just saying, they're not jazz enough. They're not bluesy jazz.
I mean, they're on every list that I find. Not all of the Eagles, like I could tell you why, is on this list.
Yeah, that could be, I guess.
Seven. Right. But that's my point, is that like Eagles, they're not a yacht rock band, but they certainly have yacht rock songs. I also found it very interesting that on this list of top 100 yacht rock songs, Boz Scaggs' Lido Shuffle comes in at 42. Which would probably be, for the Hold Steady fans, the best known, or one of the best known.
Yeah, there's. I usually see it in the top 12. There's different. There's so many lists. If you listen, if you go to Apple Music and hit Yacht Rock Essentials, I think it's in the top 10 or 12. Yeah.
Which also, in a few lists I've seen, Boz Scaggs Lowdown is way higher on the Yacht Rock list.
That is a more Hold Steady song. That's about a drug deal gone bad. It's got a super cool bass line. I'm a Lowdown fan over a Lido Shuffle fan.
Yeah. On my list here, that comes up number 10. So yeah,
there you go.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, there's Kenny Loggins back in the day before he went into the Danger Zone and Footloose and the stuff that, you know, made him hits in the 80s. Like he was lumped in that time too. I think This Is It is probably, I think when I put on Yacht Rock Radio, This Is It is on all the time.
And that's half Michael McDonald too, like we're
right.
Speaking
and here. There you go. So like the Doobie crossover, Michael, I mean, his voice is so good, even to this day. If you're going to, if you want to go into what the best voice of yacht rock tone is, Michael McDonald might be my guy.
So I guess what I'm saying is I kind of was more against the idea of yacht rock, or at least my idea of yacht rock. So here's a question then. What Hold Steady song would you say would be the most yacht rock like song?
Ooh, that's tough. That is tough. I didn't even think that part of it.
I mean, I know we mentioned, I think it was Franz had said, Mike, you were relaying a story, Mike, that Esther was, I think he said probably the more jazzier or loungy song from the Hold Steady.
Yeah, he said he was trying to write, that was like the first song they wrote when they got back together, or he wrote, and he said he was trying to get a swinging yacht rock song, and Craig said, I don't think of that song as yacht rock at all. So that kind of,
right.
Yeah, I can't, it's funny, when I was listening to all of the yacht rock stuff, I was thinking of it and hearing songs that would feel like a song the Hold Steady could cover. I think I was listening to it the other way more than
Hanover Camera, maybe. Because it got a little Bozzy.
Yeah, okay, in the Boz-Kaz vein, I could kind of see it. I see where you're going with that. I was thinking more like Riptown. Like that kind of bouncy, I don't know. Yeah. Because I don't really like Riptown. And Kevin, you went a whole other way.
Yeah, I was thinking of songs that felt like it, and that was part of the one that I picked when we were talking about what song would we want to introduce. I was looking at songs that I thought the Hold Steady would almost feel like a Hold Steady song.
That the Hold Steady could cover?
Cover, basically. Yeah. Like,
I gotcha.
You know, because I was listening and like kind of getting into the lyrics and stuff. And when we get into the songs, I'll explain why. But I was listening to it differently. And, you know, because to me, and again, the part of the reason you hate the genre is because it's lumped in or you think it's wussy. But I kind of feel like there's a few of these songs that lyrically and story-wise would fit right in a Hold Steady catalog.
I mean, I have a hard time seeing that. I'm not going to lie.
All right. So you know what? This is a music conversation show. So why don't we get into the music? And we have our segment. And I'm going to prove my point. And by the time Mike and I are done with our picks and our conversations, you're going to have nothing to say, but damn, you guys were right. All right. So for all those listening at home, we like to call this segment the Meatloaf to the Billy Joel.
To the summer smoke and the meatloaf to the Billy Joel. Certain songs, they get so scratched into our souls.
Meatloaf and Billy Joel, both not yacht rock. They're yacht rock adjacent.
Correct. There is no Meatloaf or Billy Joel picked in this segment.
Normally, this segment is about artists and songs that we feel Hold Steady fans should be aware of or might like. And in this edition, we're going to do specifically yacht rock songs.
Which is so great for the listener at home. And
why do you laugh, Casper? There's no laughing.
Because I still got my guy with the captain's hat and the sweater over his shoulders in my head. But
I would like you to know there's no laughing in yacht rock. Looking Glass, Boz Scaggs, Kenny Loggins, they are living in big houses because of these songs.
All right, Kev. Well, this was your idea, and why don't you lead us off? What do you
All right, so I will go first because usually I go last. So my pick for why I chose the song I chose, which I will play a little bit of, is Jerry Rafferty's Baker Street.
Okay.
Yes. And if you know the song and you know the Hold Steady, you'll see why. But I will play a little to start. All right. Need I say more? I don't even have to get to the lyrics to prove that that's a Hold Steady song because right away there's a horn.
I mean, I'm in an elevator.
Yeah.
And we have the horn steady. That's right. There is a whole contingent of the live show that's built around.
That's horns. The greatest sax in rock, I think. That's my favorite sax song.
Correct. It is always voted one of the top sax solos in all of rock music.
And the lyrics are very Hold Steady-ish. I'm going to give up the booze and the one night stands, maybe buy myself a house, maybe get myself some land. I mean, come on. That's one of the greatest lyrics in rock.
It's a great lyric. The song is about a guy who wants to buy a house in the good part of town, but he's a drunk and can't get out of his own way. I mean, this might as well be Charlemagne. I mean, this is so tragic of a character.
Yeah.
I mean, can we make the point that, and look, all right, I'm going to do this and I'll apologize in advance to all the listeners at home.
Oh my God.
But just imagine you're in Brooklyn Bowl and the horn steady comes out and you hear that riff.
And all of a sudden, Craig comes out and goes, winding your way down on Baker Street, light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day, you'll drink the night away and forget about everything. And he throws his hands up and the crowd goes nuts. I could see it.
Can I ask a question?
Why
does your Craig Finn impression sound like a limerick?
Because sometimes when he sings, it's very rhythmic. And so, you know, and then think of the chorus. Like, you used to think that it was so easy. You used to say it was so easy, but you're trying. You're trying now. And then the sax comes in, shit's over. Thank you very much. Hold Steady covers Baker Street. Jerry Rafferty wrote a smash. And it's as good as a song as could fit in the Hold Steady world that I could come up with.
All right, Mike, what do you got?
Well, I was just going to say Baker Street. I still had more on Baker Street.
I know this is paining you, Gasper, but let's not jump off Baker Street just yet. There's still plenty more to say.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, in the movie Good Will Hunting, I mean, it's so badass when they start fighting on the basketball court. It's Baker Street when they're fighting in the background. Yeah, that they're playing in the song.
I mean, I even forgot about that scene, but that is awesome. And it brings in Boston. And like, I mean, come on. I mean, I know Gasper's face, if people at home could see, he is literally starting to like lighten and go, I missed this.
It's as if I sucked on a lemon.
Or that.
I can't believe you don't like that song. That song sounds like Humid Summer to me. Listen to it now, folks. That song always reminds me of humidity for some reason.
All right. Yeah, and lyrically, like, and again, I'm not going to read all the lyrics, but if you go look at it, it's pretty much a tragic tale of a guy whose addiction keeps him from achieving his dreams and then realizes like, hey man, I'm not going to get there. And that's sort of a motif that comes throughout a lot of Hold Steady songs. And I'm not saying Jerry Rafferty inspires the Hold Steady, but there you go. And to Jerry Rafferty's credit, after Baker Street, that he was coming out of Steeler's Wheel, who had Stuck in the Middle with You, which is also in one of the most iconic movie scenes of Reservoir Dogs in the Ear.
Reservoir Dogs, yeah.
Great.
Okay. All right, Mike, what do you got?
Mike, what did you come up with?
Gasper, I can see we don't have you sold yet. For my Yacht Rock song, I got Brandy, You're a Fine Girl by The Looking Glass. I mean, come on, we have the whole nautical theme. They're called The Looking Glass. Here, just listen.
And it's got a gang vocal right in the beginning. Do-do-do-do-do. Here it comes.
There's a port on a western bay, and it serves 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away and talk about their home.
I mean, come on. Sorry, Mike. Everything about that song is great.
That song is amazing. Again, like Baker Street, it has one of my favorite lines in the history of rock. You know, Craig writes great lines, but did he ever write, like, this song is about a woman who's trying to get a sailor, but he cannot commit to her because his life, his love, his lady is the sea. So I just, every time I hear that, like, I mean, come on, Gasper, like your wife ever want to do something and you're like, I wish I could, but my life, my love, my lady is editing this podcast, so I don't have time. I mean, just try that out. That line is amazing.
I mean, it is true. And look at how many Hold Steady song relationships can't work because there's an outside influence. Here it's a sea and a boat. Sometimes there's drugs. Sometimes it's, you know, guns. Yeah, there's a lot.
It's a song about a boy and a girl in the sea is what this song is about. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have a song about a boy and a girl and a horse. They have a boy and a girl in the sea. Come on.
Oh, God. Again, I'm on an elevator with this song.
Chips Ahoy was one line away from being You're My Love, My Light, and My Horse. Like, it was one line away, and it would have been the same as Brandy, You're a Fine Girl. So we could have had that.
Yeah.
All right.
So it went to number one everywhere. Red Hot Chili Peppers have covered it. And also I wanted to say, did you guys know the Foo Fighters covered Baker Street? And it's amazing.
You know what? I forgot. Awesome. I had looked up some covers of Baker Street, and I did see the Foo Fighters covered it. I meant to mention that. So, you know, like, once the Hold Steady and the Foo Fighters cover it, we're talking about a rock classic. So I'm going to keep lobbying for the Hold Steady to cover Baker Street with a horn steady.
You'll have to bring that up at the Q&A next Mass.
Oh, my God.
Can we get you to cover Baker
Street? I suggest a covers album for the Hold Steady? I mean, I don't want to. I feel like I would have produced it with my verse that I sang, so I don't want to influence how Craig would deliver it. But I mean, it was pretty much on point for what you would expect. And you could hear Steve doing those volume swells.
Oh, so me and Kevin brought a song. I'm guessing, Gasper, did you bring a song?
I did. and my selection comes more from my surprise that some songs fit into this category. So the song that jumps off for me is Don Henley, Boys of Summer.
Mm, it's a great song.
Great song. It's funny. I've never lumped this into yacht rock. Now, you mean to tell me you can't see Franz doing this keyboard while Tad's doing the...
Yeah. Come on.
We're here. Be with us in the moment.
Yeah, Franz just took a picture with Mike Campbell, who mostly wrote this song. Nobody on the beach. Right.
I
feel it in the
air. The summer's out of reach. I mean, so like, to me, that was never a yacht rock song. Listening to it, I guess it's got those early 80s guitar sounds.
It's very late yacht rock, I think.
Sounds. Yeah. So I wouldn't myself call it a yacht rock song, but it's on the list, so we're going to go with it. I will say one of my favorite lines in music comes from that song, that concept of the out on the road today, I saw a Deadhead sticker on a Cadillac. I love that line just because that would be the weirdest thing you've ever seen. I could see Craig singing that line.
Yeah, when the Ataris cover this song, they have a Black Flag bumper sticker cover on the Cadillac.
Okay, I could see how that it's kind of like the same vibe. But yep. So yeah, that would be my contribution to the. But again, like, I'm not in an elevator with the Don Henley song.
I will also say too, based on the definition that Mike gave before of yacht rock, that it was like 76 to 84, which we could argue. Boys of Summer was 84, so that's literally the tail end of it, which I think is probably why it sounds sonically a little different than Mike and my pick, and maybe you don't hear it on yacht rock stations as much as others. That's not to say it's not a great song, and it also proves my point that this is another song that could be in the Hold Steady lexicon.
True. Yeah. I don't know, man. I've always seen the yacht rock thing in the connection to the Hold Steady as like a tongue-in-cheek, we're having a laugh. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Because you know what, though? I mean, for all we're talking about it, like, we've been to countless Hold Steady shows that kick off with Lidl Shuffle, which, as we've discussed, is one of the top yacht rock songs.
Right.
Like, it is what it is. You can deny it. You can fight it. You can hate it. But I think scientifically on this episode, we have proven.
Scientifically.
We created a hypothesis. We tested it. We've proven it. And I think at the end of the day, now you would have to come around and say, thank you, everybody who voted yes for this episode, because A, it's a great episode. B, you are now a yacht rock. All right, maybe you're not a yacht rock. Maybe you're not on the yacht, but you're on like the rowboat next to the yacht. Like, you're coming closer to the boat. You don't want the coat and the hat yet, like Mike and I.
I will give you this. I will say thank you, everyone, for voting for this episode. Anytime you could put us at odds, I think is a good time because we have a lot of fun arguing amongst each other. I am not in the rowboat next to the yacht. I am definitely on the dock. But all the same.
Come on.
What I would like to say is, if anybody listening to this has other songs they think in the yacht rock vein that we missed that the Hold Steady should cover, I'd want to hear. Or conversely, if there's a Hold Steady song that you go, that should be on Yacht Rock Radio, I'd love to hear those too, because that'll be a fun playlist. Maybe we'll then make like the Hood Rat Recap Yacht Rock Hold Steady playlist.
Oh boy.
Throw that out and just
I have a whole, I have a whole bunch more Yacht Rock songs.
We could curate a playlist. Oh, I have a whole bunch more.
I mean, I could talk about them forever.
I could too. I mean, I could. There's no shortage of Yacht Rock songs I could turn into a Craig Finn limerick. And
at my casino, we have Yachtly Crew is coming up. But they all wear sailor hats. They're called Yachtly Crew with the, the crew is spelled C-R-E-W.
The name just makes me cringe.
So good.
They're good. Look them up on YouTube. So they rock. Good. So guys, if you want, I got a little interview with Yacht Rock legend Robbie Dupree when he was at my casino. Do you guys want to hear it right now?
Sure. Yeah,
I'd love to.
Okay, here it is. So Robbie, you know, everybody accuses you of your song Steal Away. They say you stole it from Michael McDonald. Everybody says you sound exactly like Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers in it. I know Michael McDonald actually sued you for sounding like him in the song. What do you have to say? Robbie, you said you know it's not even right there. I don't understand the attitude, but anyways, you're a legend, Robbie. Keep it up.
You know what? I will agree. After listening to that, that was definitely a Michael McDonald ripoff. But even at the end of all this, and I know this has pained Gasper, there is still one thing that we want to tell him. Gasper, to quote the great band Orleans, you're still the one. We're still having fun.
We're still having fun.
You could hear the Hold Steady doing this live, and I would throw confetti here. Confetti. This could be a new confetti moment.
All right.
They're going to have to play that New Orleans, yeah.
God, it's so good, Orleans. And like, just listen to the beginning. Like, if you heard this at a Hold Steady show, you'd be like, damn, that's Hold Steady. There's Franz. Hello, Franz. I mean, I rest my case.
All right.
I will let the public be the jury, but I rest my case.
This kid's a computer that's been programmed to dream. He stumbled to start, but regained his speed. He said, my superpower is I say what I mean.
All right, I think that's going to do it for us for this episode. As always, we appreciate you guys checking it out. If you like what we do, give us a like, a follow. We appreciate the comments. We had plenty going into this episode, and really, it sort of helped us create a great show. And I'm very happy. This one was a lot of fun. I think getting Gasper on the yacht has been really the best part of this whole episode. So if you like what we do, give us a follow, give us a like, tell your friends. Really, we do this because you check it out and because we all love the same band. And Gasper, why don't you tell them where you can find us?
Yeah, the best place to find us, the best jumping off point for everything Hood Rat Recap, is our link tree, which is linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap. And that's where you can find our socials. You could find previous episodes. You could find this episode. And, Mike, why don't you tell them how they could leave us a voicemail message?
Yeah, so we're running a special on today's show since it was the special Hot Yacht Rock episode. If you leave us a voicemail on the link in the show notes, you'll get right to the front of the line. We'll play your voicemail first. We'll move your way up there. We promise you'll be on the next episode. So,
and if you want to leave us a voicemail just saying how you think Kevin and Mike are right and Gasper is really off the boat, great. Yeah. If you want to side with Gasper, we'll listen to that too and then tell you why you're wrong.
And then even Kat in New Jersey, I think she said Yacht Rock's kind of gross, I think is what she said. She can leave a voicemail saying that. But.
That's why Kat's my people. All right, well, I'm Gasper, that's Kevin, that's Mike, and us guys and all you guys and gals, we are all the Hood Rat Recap.
Your party
yo, yo, do battle rap next episode. Battle rap.
Battle rap, gangster rap. Enter the room.
Kevin on the boat, smooth sailing all day long. Gaspar stuck on shore, he'll glow. He says this genre's wrong. They play some Hall and Oates while Gaspar rolls his eyes. Kevin's got his captain's coat, Mike's harmonizing high. Gaspar hates the yacht rock. Mike and Kev just can't stop talking slick riffs and soft rock hits, but Gaspar's head's gonna pop. Gaspar says, give me punk, rock and roll or garage noise. Yacht rock makes his heart feel sunk, calls it music for soft boys. Kevin's quoting Hawkins tunes, Mike's air guitaring smooth. Gaspar's got bad attitude, but that won't stop their groove. Three O's on the sea, two in harmony, one in agony, Gaspar's misery. One in agony, Gaspar's misery. Three hosts on the sea, two in harmony, one in agony, Gaspar's misery.
I can't say that word. Melodic? Melodic.
Okay. Melodic is a disease.
Melodic is a disease.